Okay, the second half of our Mishnah. Val tarba sikhli ma isha, the ishta omru kalakoyim vashis chavera. Person should be careful not to be marba in sikha with a woman, with his wife, it was said, kalakoyim vashis chavera. The kan omru, that was the end of the manga of Yosi ben Yochanan, Yishu Shalayim. And the Chacham said, from based on this, the Kan Omru Chachamim calls man shall the marv sichim aisha going rola atzmoi uboit medivrei Torah say the gerish gehenna. If a person calls man, whenever a person is marv sichim aisha, so we have these very severe words to say for him. He's a goyim rala atzma, he causes bad. Rala atzma, he's causing himself damage. Uboit on divrei Torah, brings himself in battle from divrei Torah. The save for Yerush Gehenna. You know where his end is? He's going to finish in Gehenna. With his hand English, will go to hell. That's it. What did he do? Which of there was he? What is going on? Are women such a terrible folk? What? So the morale asked the question. He says it just means if what the Mishnah is telling you is that you should learn Torah, you shouldn't vaffle by Torah by speaking to women. But Talim doesn't really do with women. So you shouldn't be in vaffle by Torah speaking to your friend either. Talking about bittul Torah, bittul Torah. You shouldn't sit around and stare at the stars either. You shouldn't read history. You shouldn't read newspapers. Anything that
maybe there's an extra dakuda or a zoyan here.
Speaking to
what you're substituting. Not only is it bittul, but the particular aspect of substitution is really. Low down on the scale.
Is it?
Yeah. No, come to some serious stuff.
What?
First of all, we find a lot of places, not just the individual, was that you find a complementary type of expressions towards women, and you find a derogatory type of negative type of.
Name one of these types.
In Kehelas, Shlomo HaMelech says,
Echod me'elek matzosi?
No.
Ve'ishem ha'kolei lelo matzosi. Talking about the proper form of man. Talking about the highest madrigas. So you find by men one out of 1,000. You find none out of 1,000 out of 1.
He said it's worth. There's a thing, there's a risk. I don't remember if he says that he found something worse than death. And that's why. He says that in
That itself is not so terrible.
And yet, on the other hand, the same Shlomo HaMelech, where Hoshi Hashem elevates women to the highest level.
Okay. The Gemara in says that brings it to himself and says in Yerushalayim they used to ask the Fatsim after they got married, Motza or Moitza? Two psukim. One is Motza Isha and Motza Toiv. The other one is put it up on our door. It's either Motza Isha or Motza Toiv. Moitza ni Isha Mara mi Motza. So Isha could be Mara mi Motza. Isha could be Motsa Isha Motsa Toiv. The Gemara in Yavama says that a Shoyi B'lo Isha, a person doesn't have a wife, Shoyi B'lo Toiva, B'lo Barocha, B'lo Chayma, B'lo Toiva, B'lo Toira, B'lo Sholi. If you've ever saw a person who had any of these. So you have to know that he has only one to thank. Besides the Parishon, the reason why he has any of these things in his life, only because it comes from his wife. So we're going to go outside of our Geder a little bit, and we're going to try to discuss this topic, which unfortunately we have to deal with. I was considering how to do it. I would have preferred to learn the Mishnah as the Torah without referring to any common day misunderstandings, and learn the Mishnah as it is said. However, since we all come from Western society, and whether we like it or not, we're very, very mushka, Western thinking. There are dvorim shehashtika yachlehem. There are things that it's better not to go into that much. But there are certain times when the time has come, and it's time just to speak about it. And I feel that now's the time, and we're going to speak about it. We're going to speak about well, the Torah relates to women, and in relationship, we're going to start off with in relating to Western thinking on both ends of the scale. There's Western thinking, which is it's called after style or Baruch Hashem, but there's the idea of feminism. All of the feminist movement that went with it. There is the Western form of male chauvinism that the feminism was a reaction to. And there is the mistaken understanding of Torah understanding that people sometimes hang their bad meters on. And they want to be a Western male chauvinist and bring the Torah to back them up. So unfortunately, what happens is like this. If you bring one in the Chazal and it's a Matisha Matsutoyev, so the feminist chief. And if I bring the other one, it depends how the guy gets along with his wife. If he gets along well with his wife, so he's telling nice things about his, about women, he's happy. He's not getting along so good with his wife. He'd say, wait, you should mind him love this, and he's happy. Okay? So this is just a test of what the maximum shown by it's just like. But generally, whatever you'll say will be misunderstood in one of these two ways. So here we're stuck here. If we would explain the positive aspect of women, we misunderstood one. To understand the negative aspects of women, we brought our perspective in a different way. So we have to try to escape, try to tear off some of our Western misunderstandings, try to come to the prerequisites for understanding a Mishnah like this. Getting a proper understanding. It happens to be that this sugya is a very, very delicate sugya. Very, very delicate sugya. And it goes very, very deep. The basic machlokes between Yiddishkeit and Christianity deals very directly with this subject. It is a subject which, difference between Christianity and what's called Western society is only different in form. This is a religious form of these beliefs. This is an atheistic form of the same beliefs. It's two forms, it's two sides of the same tomb. It's the same chazir of Edoim. Tumas Edoim. It comes off different forms, but it's the same basic tumor. All of these ideas, both the male chauvinists and the feminists, are classical examples of this tumasedom. It comes from the heart of the issues. These are very delicate issues. And the ones that we're not used to hearing about, we're not used to talking about. And there are people that are very mature and grown up adults in many areas. You get to certain areas, the child in them comes. Reasons for it. But the whole thing, this is an issue that we have to take with great seriousness, and we have to try to bring together all of our maturity to deal with it in a mature fashion. First, the statement from the crux of the issue. This is not necessarily to do with the men and women, but this is in almost every issue that will be brought up. People ask questions, what is better, X or Y? Whenever they find two sides to an issue, so the next, almost taking a deep work, they're going to find who's better, who's right, X or Y. Any differences, any segments, any sections, any aspects of any issue that you're going to find, as soon as there is a definition or clarification of dealing with two different sections, two different aspects, different fitness, different groups, different types, whatever they are, the next reaction is to ask, well, who's better? Even worse, who's right and who's wrong? Who's greater and who's worse? Bigger and who's little? To get to what's better, an apple or a banana? There are even idiots nowadays. They call themselves doctors or health addicts or something. And they come along and they say vegetables are good and meat is bad, or fruit is good, bad is good. It's ridiculous. And all these things are ridiculous. Why? It's ridiculous. Total stupidity. Because it's all from the same center issue. There are two basic attitudes to everything in the world. One is the attitude. Call attitudes. The attitude of Yichud and the attitude of Pirud. Klai Yisrael's battle flag is Na'yifel Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad. The thing that makes us different than all other religions, or whatever you want to call those things, or all other nations, is not that we believe that there is a religion in the world. Most people, in one form or the other, believe that there is a religion. Even the atheists really believe it. How do you see it? Look what happens when they're about to die. Look what happens when they get into a position of dire danger. Start dying. Start praying. We pray to you. Believe that. So it's on the surface that they're atheists because it allows them to live the type of life they want to live. But almost everybody, it's very hard nowadays to find a real happy person. One deep down Apikurus. Apikurus, a real Apikurus, is a Makri of Buddhism. But that's not a so good group. Most people believe that there is a Buddhism. You have to be stupid not to. It's not an issue. So. That's not the thing that makes us special. The fact that we believe in the reason of Buddhism, that's not the thing. That we believe that everything and only exists is like Buddhism. And everything is a derivative and an expression of his thoughts and his will. And that there are no two sides. No two sides. Everything is one. There's one rebellion form, and there's one Torah, and there's one Kohen Gadol, and there's one Klal Yisrael. Ato Echad, Mishicho Echad, Umika Am Kol Yisrael, Kol Echad Ba'aretz. It says over there in the by the Goyim, they have many Avodah Zarahs, and many Kohanim, and many Minhagim, and many this, many that, many Shemites. Klal Yisrael is one. Because everything comes from one source. One in a monetary or in any numeral system is the lowest on the total form. But the one that we're talking here about is the greatest on the total. There's the one that's not the one before two, the two of them make two. But it's the one that includes all and everything that could exist in one total entity. It says that everything is one total entity that is created by one essence, the Rishon, as a product of his will, they so desired. The Rishon created one world, the one Tachlis, by one creature called man, through one process called Torah. That's all that exists. However, he also created the possibility, like it says in the Torah, it's like the Torah, Yom es ha-chayim ves ha-moves, it's a broch ves ha-kolol, v'chayim. There is existence and non-existence, life and death. And he created the possibility that a person should have to choose free will between life or death. He doesn't know. He has to choose. It's a choice. It's a real choice. Once it becomes clear that that's the issue, there's nobody's going to choose death or life. If he knows what life means, he knows what death means. He knows what the value of life is. He knows what the problem with death is. So there's nobody in his right mind who's going to choose death over life. But the Rosh Hashanah created for the purpose of the world that there is a world where we can fool ourselves, we can make mistakes. We have the capability of making mistakes. And therefore, he created a whole system of pseudo-existence where the Ra itself, where the Misa, can appear as good. Can appear not only as good as its own existence. And it is our job to recognize that Ra is Ra, that it is fool's gold, that it is only pseudo-existence, it is not real existence, and that all that really exists is all one master plan created by one master, and our role is to reestablish Kvodo Yisbar, Kvod Malchusen in the world as it really exists. This is the Hashkofa of Klai Yisrael, this is our battle flag, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echad. There are therefore two sections of the world. There are 90%, 98%, 99% of the world which is Toiv, which is part of the Metzius. And everything there is one entity where everything has its role in its place. There's nothing that is against the other, and there's nothing that's in challenge of the other, even though you find opposites. You find fire in the world and you find water in the world. Fire and water, taken as separate entities, are enemies. Because either the fire will make the water evaporate, or the water will put fire out. Light and dark. The light enters the realm of the dark, or the if the dark is able to overpower the source of light, so then it will be dark. Everything in the world was given in a form where it can appear as enemies, because we have the whole realm of purpose that exists in the world. But the Yesod of Achdus that we just described says that all of these koichos are part of one entity, and they harmonize together when properly, each thing is used properly, everything will find its proper place as part of one total essence. And everything that would seem to be two sides of a war are actually all one great master plan where everything comes into total shalom, total harmony, where everything finds its proper place and everything has its role. Most, 98% of the world, falls into this category. There is only the one aspect that the Vayishon created that unfortunately may take over 99% of the world sometimes. But there's one little aspect called the Rabbe Etzem, the Sitchach, if you want to call it whatever name you like to give this fellow, Kusotin. But this is real wrath. This is pseudo-truth that he comes to present himself as a separate entity. And generally when he does so, he splits the world into two. And he says, or that belongs to the Baish of Choshech, that's mine. Toy, that's the Baish of Ra, that's mine. Okay? Peace, that's for the Baish of War, that's mine. And so forth. Rachmanis, the Baish of Avzorius, it's mine. He splits everything down below. This is classical Christian thinking, where there is two basic entities in the world. There's the world of Toiv, headed by the Ganshul. He sits on the Kisei of Toiv, or of good, or anything that is fine. And you have the devil, some other name that you want to use for him, and he sits on the other side. This is the two basic pictures of the world. And every issue that you're going to pick up will be defined first and foremost on what background you're asking the question. If you have a question, what's better, vegetables or chicken? We're not talking about for a particular person in a particular place. Right? But in general, what's better, chicken or vegetables? So on the Christian side, on the side of the Olam HaPirud, so all of these questions have value. Because I can take any two things in the world, even chickens and vegetables. I can take the chickens on one side, put the potatoes on the other side, and you can have a war. And there have been more ridiculous things that have caused wars in the world. This one says that the main thing is chickens, and the other, and each one will produce his truths, which are true. This one will produce all of the information on the tremendous necessity of proteins and the function of protein in the human body. And the other one will produce all of the importance of vitamins and minerals and vegetables. And we'll have it out, and it might end up in a war. The two sides. Vegetables and chicken. The kids are a color war. Blue against red. What does blue got to do against red? Blue and red, two colors. It's the blue against the red. Blue against the red. It's a trade idea. Blue is not against red. They're all colors. Colors are part of one rainbow, one spectrum. They all work in harmony. This idea that you can take anything that are different and make enemies out of them, this is the basic Yisrael of people. Basic Christian. This is Edling, this is Amalek, that they can split anything. Shemayim Ve'oretz is the source of it all. It's Amalek, as we just learned, still under the hangovers of Purim. Amalek comes and says, Shemayim, you can have it. But you take Shemayim. Shemayim, watch. Ve'oretz, really, Ve'oretz, what are you, who is Kodesh Vatot, and Yabalochim, Shroth, and Teir, and all that's Kodesh Vatot, what do you got to do with us? We're Tavim. We're Guf. We're Kashim. Go back up and leave us alone. Shemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, or it's not in the Snail Oda. When they make that your battle flag, your name is Amalek. If your battle flag is Shemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, oh, it's not something else. You take the truth of that too, but make that an absolute truth. Make that your battle flag. And that you want to make the two essence of the world, Shemayim, no, it's enemies. Shemayim, to stay up there, or it's not. Once Arts is down here, so then I might as well be in the middle. Which will happen. When the Chas V'Shalom, the Arts is split from Shemayim, the Amalek is enough. Amalek or any one of his fine fellows. He can work through the Chashverish, whatever is available at the moment. So, this is not particular. So, he used Nebuchadnezzar when he was in power, when he used he was in power, and used Germany when they were in power, using America now that they're in power. That's scary one, huh?
That's scary.
It's going to become more and more partial as the days go by. Bush. Mr. Bush. Mr. Bush. Yeah, Mr. Baker, Mr. Bush. Mr. Baker. Mr. Arafat, I had a meeting next week. Great, let's go on. Let's see. Hello, everyone. This is basic idea of Pirud, which says that any two things that could be identified as separate could be put on opposite sides of the fighting team or a war front, which is only a difference in form. Yeah. It becomes an argument. Who's better, who's greater, who's going to control them? Utter stupidity at all times. Just total, absolute check. It's bluff. It's ridiculous. Just like as a person who has any understanding of nutrition knows that a body needs proteins and needs minerals and vitamins. No argument. You need both. Each one has its role. You need water, and you need fire. There's no argument. Each one has its role. Tell me they can't exist together? You people are foolish. You never saw a human body. A human body is 85, 87, or whatever it is, percent water, and it's run on fire. If the temperature of the body goes a few degrees below the high level when it runs on, it's all this fire. Fire and water, and existence, the body is existence. But these are fire and water, right? These are the two powers that are most obvious. War, fire and water. There are some points that are sometimes, hopefully, more obvious to us. Hopefully, somebody comes and tells you you should have eat only grapes. Either you're very, very sick, and that's why you should be eating only grapes, or the person who's telling you this is very, very sick. One of the two. There's nothing. Because if you're not very, very sick or some very special or particular form, then eating just grapes is not a good idea. And the same thing, popcorn or any other ridiculous things that you're going to pick up. Right? It's all different. So, a person is made up of the whole spectrum, whatever there is, and a person needs it all. So you fight, should we just eat or just drink? Which is important, eating or drinking? To eat. You have to eat to drink. What's important, eating or sleeping? You have to eat to sleep. So usually for most people, some of these questions are obvious. You haven't read the wrong books, you haven't been around the wrong people, you laugh it off. If you have to read a few of these books, it's amazing how easily a person can fall into these traps. If you keep this golden rule on you at all times, what's the perspective? Did they take two different aspects and make a war out of it? It doesn't matter if it's a gentleman's war or Goliath. It doesn't make a difference to the point. But are they taking two aspects and making a war out of them? Or are they finding the whole picture and learning how to use them in harmony? That's Olam Pirut, which is the definition of Tumah, the definition of Ira, and Olam Hayichud, which is Klai's Soul's battlefield. I mentioned before, I once had this conversation with a doctorate student in philosophy. We're studying in Europe. Good place for that. It's a whole story. But when we had this debate, he brought up all different philosophies. And what we found to be the case was that besides the trash, which there's a certain percentage of trash, but even the overwhelming majority of philosophies have an aspect of truth in them. What they went wrong is that they took their aspect of truth that they recognized and wanted to explain the whole picture according to that. Instead of seeing it as one side of the spectrum that has to take into a form of harmony with the opposite side of the picture, they want to explain everything in this form. It's got to be this side or that side or up or down or sideways or left or right or all of the different forms of dividing things into pieces. Whenever we hear a question, that sounds like, who's better, A or B? When we're talking about two things that are part of or should be part of the whole system. So you know that your background is Tumas Eden. You're talking about here, this is your Yitzhahara speaking. This is the deep down Yitzhahara, which you don't know. He doesn't come in the you know, when he comes with the Taiva, Gaiva, Kas, more open forms of Yetzirah. So even if we fall into it, we recognize it. But when it comes to these forms, they're having a philosophical debate. He's arguing a point, and he's going to prove it. Chazal. Both sides are going to prove it. Whatever. But the basis of the discussion is this background, So you got to know one thing. Torah, you're not discussing. You're talking exactly anti-Torah. This is the opposite of Torah. You'll never, ever have such a thing in Torah. There is never such a thing in Torah. Once we have that clear, then we can get into all of them, like you said, and all of the discussions and descriptions of all aspects there are in Torah. Because Torah deals with everything that there exists, and deals with each side of every issue. And for clarity's sake, and for other reasons, each side was dealt with generally individually. So you can find a pasuk in Maamar Chazal that describes any side of any issue. And if you're smart, have enough ideas, you can line them up and start making them worse. Sometimes you don't have to be smart. It's all right down there right for you. This one says this way, and this one says the opposite. It's a machloikis. It's a machloikis. That's why we have the basic concept. It's especially, it's true even in Halacha, but it's especially true in Agada, of Elu, the Elu, Divrei Elokim Chai. Every machloikis, they're both right. They're both what the Rebbeinu Shlomo says. Two classical examples. The Gemara describes a machloikis about something that requires story about Kalagish Begiva. That's a lot of Torahs there. And there was a machloikis between two Tanoim. What happened? Was it Nima Matzah or Zvum? So either this was the story. What got him upset? Either this or that. So they were having the machloikis in the base of the Shalmata, and somebody met Eliyahu HaNavi. He asked him, "Oh, hi, how you doing? What's going on in Sifta Berikia?" So he says, they're discussing the sugya of Pelagish Begiva. And what does the Rebbeinu Shlomo say? He says, Elazar b'ni omer, Nima Matzah. This is the teacher that's able to be able. The Rebbeinu Shlomo says both. If each one of these people in Chazal didn't make it up to the source for it, then each one was describing a certain aspect of the issue. There may be a machlekes, meaning which one does you put the greater emphasis on, which one was the straw that broke the camel's back, or some point it is, in the same form in halacha, which is the thing that we have to go after the halacha. Because the halacha is we have to have a final decision, what should we do? Because in action, this world is a limited world. In a limited world, you have to have one side of the issue of the mind, so what should we do in each case? We have to know that in this case we do this side, in this case we do that side. But in any particular case, we have to have, it's sometimes mutter and sometimes also, but any particular instance has to be either mutter or also. That's why the halacha has to always determine for us under which sif in Shulchan Aruch are we going to use. Is it the sif that says mutter or the sif that says also? So forth in all aspects. But in the concepts and the understanding of it, there's never one side of an issue. With the one exception, like we mentioned before, there is one thing that exists in the world that doesn't really exist. That is the anti-existence of the rabbis. Pure doesn't exist. It only appears to exist. When we get to pure, we say, no, that's a lie. It doesn't exist. That's not the real Kim Chaim at all, except in the deep sense that we recognize in what's it doing here in the world. It's not the real Kim Chaim. The Benjamin brought it into this world to create such a world that we would have to overcome this Nisayan and recognize it for what it is, and that it's not really a second issue, a second side to the issue. It's only a false goal. It's only a pseudo-existence. And as soon as we call it by its name and we say, you're a liar, it disappears, it goes home. It doesn't really exist. Only appears to exist.
How do we identify that? When we don't connect another tone of truths or something? I mean, I can understand the argument between meat and potatoes, but let's say it's meat and rocks. I mean, where does the substance change where I know that this is my macheter?
That's what we're saying right now. In this example, any time a person presents an issue that's absolutely this or that, unless one of the issues itself is, if you cut some shalom to one of these places, they want to have a machloikis. Right. The Jewish view is, right. Christian view is, or the Orthodox Jews say, yeah. Reformed Jews say, right? So that's checker, Emerson checker. That's the one achloikis that could exist. As long as the world exists in this form, right? So Emerson checker, but that achloikis can only exist for a second. Because as soon as the emis says its word and identifies the other side of sheker, as far as that person is concerned, at least, and anybody who's going to follow it, if the whole world hears it, then it's gone. Proof that it is. Look at all the different philosophies that ran the world. Where are they? In the museums. Right. What's the only one to stick around for all these thousand years? Because the emis sticks. The emis has lasting value. Sheker ain't a good line. Sheker doesn't stand. It can stick around for a little while, but as soon as its time is up, it'll be shown out to be what it is, and that piece of sheker will be gone. As long as it's still in the process of 6,000 years, in this world, so in this place will come a new sheker, and that'll be the next generation since then. The next generation we have, this isn't or that isn't. Communism had it 72 years. It's up. Goodbye. Where to go? Who knocked it out? Now all of the brilliant people sitting up there in the Ivory Castle is going to sit down now and write the books of how it was really happening already for 37 years. It was falling apart, and this was just the natural result of all of the processes, if you understand what was really going on. So this was just a natural... Afterwards, it's easy to write the books. Sheker, in the red line, simple. In bluff, you can only last for a certain amount of time. Every bluff, depending on how powerful it is, given more time. Haman was given his time, whenever was given his time, and the Greeks were given their time, the Romans were given their time, and Communism was given its time, and Zionism was given its time, and everything will come to an end. Cool. So you have a machloik, right? The Torah and Zion. Ridiculous. Yeah, but if you take anything that's within the realm of existence, what's better, sight or hearing? There are discussions like that. You have to understand what it means. True, if a person gives me a choice, I can only have one, and I have to choose. So you have to know. You only have one, you have to choose. A person has to know how to make such a decision. The person who wants to absolutely originally establish that one is absolutely valued, negative the other one that has no value, even relative to it, it's stupidity. Each one of the function has its purpose in place. Sight can do things that hearing can't do, and hearing can do things that sight can't do. Each thing is good as long as it stays within the realm of its purpose. And you think it's bad because whatever the other one has and it doesn't have is its chesaron. There's a certain depth that you can get with hearing that you can't get with sight. There's a certain clarity of getting the whole picture that you can get with sight and you can't get with hearing. So Marshall Kauf. So whenever we discuss any discussion whatsoever, first we have to get the perspective. So if a person comes along and has a conversation, what is the Torah thing? What are better, man or woman? The question is no good. It's a puzzle. That's not a clear question. You want to take your Roman ideas, you want to take your Christian ideas, Western society, it's all the same thing, it's just different syllables. You want to take your chazafisl. You want to know what the Torah says about chazafisls. The Torah says chazafisls are chazafisls. They should please get out of here. We don't want to have anything to do with them. Right? As much as they present their simon to higher, that's what we call the chazafisl. Right? Why is a chazaf more trave, right, than a dog? Why is it the thing that a chazaf The worst thing that you can say is a chad. Why? Because a dog doesn't pretend. A dog is a dog. He's dumb and finished. Nochish is a nochish. A chad comes along with a simple tire, sticks out his foot. Chazal said, this is Edoin. Edoin comes along and say, only Yisrael. Christians were the ones who brought this out. Before them, other forms of the same thing, but only Yisrael, they come here. No, we are the real man. People just get it in their form. Christians did it in their form. Western society is doing it in their form. You know what mankind looks like? We're the real thing. These backwards Jews from the Middle Ages, the man shot. Haskins. Making trouble. They're not modern, advanced, developed. Where's the man? That's the real thing. Chazifists, they come and present some aspects of quality that they seem to have, and they present themselves as the real thing. What do we say to them? We have no argument with them. We say, out. Right? We call you by your name. You're a chazif. You're a pig. You're tummy. You're ugly. You're worthless. Out. We don't deal with you. Goodbye. We don't have anything to do with you. You didn't fool us. You stick your foot back in and say, oink, and get out of here. Because we don't want to deal with you. It's not side of an issue. So if a person comes and presents to you an issue, then what does the Torah say is better? A heart or a mind? What does the Torah say is better? Torah or a avodah? What's more important? A avodah or a chesed? What's better? Mitzvahs keep it A, or mitzvah shluach hakai. These questions are all tricky. There's no such questions. What's more important, my foot or my hand? They're all part of the same process. Each one has its function, and each one is of quality to the degree that it's used for the purpose of the totality to its particular role that it was created. Everything is negative when it goes out of that realm. If a hand tries to be a foot, it's going to mess things up. It's going to turn exactly everything upside down. The mind wants to start feeling, and the heart wants to start. A heart, you want to use logic in the heart through feelings. So you're going to get cruel logic. You're going to get the mind wants to start feeling. So you can have the person, what am I supposed to feel now? You ever have questions? What are we supposed to feel on Rosh Hashanah? What are we supposed to feel at the Seder night? What are we supposed to feel at the Seder night? Okay. You want to start a computer, put in the thing, and okay, now we are happy. Now we are sad. It doesn't work that way. You're trying to feel in your head. Right? By demand, it doesn't work that way. There is a way how you can get there. You can go from brain to the heart. But you can't feel in your head. And you can't think logically in your heart. Each thing has its role. Everything in the world is good and wonderful and important and kodosh and tohor and important when it's doing its role as part of the whole concept. Everything is tummy and ra and bad. And out of proportion, messing up the whole thing, when it goes out of its role. That's why the most important job of working with all of reality is understanding what everything is in real terms. What's its role? What's its place? Without gaiva, without thinking you're more than you are, and without shiflus, without thinking that you're less than you are. Amakiris Mekoyimai. You have to know your place. Just like every player that we're talking about has its place and role, every individual, every generation has its role in the master plan. Every individual, Chayav Olam Lo'imar B'Shvili Nivra Olam. The person has to say that the world was created for me. Why does he have to say the world was created for me? Because if it wasn't necessary to have me in the world, I would not be here. The Rebbeinu Shlom has no luxuries. There's no luxuries in the Rebbeinu Shlom's world. If I'm here, it's for very good reason. It's absolutely necessary. For the completion of the Bonifant's master plan, it's all dependent on me. Because completion, if there's one mashu who not there, it's not complete. And the Bnei Shalom never settles for second best. The Bnei Shalom in his master plan, in his Tachlis Olam, is talking about absolute shleimus in every aspect form. And there's no roiv in that aspect. It doesn't go well 9 out of 10. Doesn't work that way. The Bnei Shalom has his ways to make sure that every neshama of Klal Yisrael will make it to Olam Haba. Because if Chas V'Shalom wouldn't be that way, the Bnei Shalom, in a cosmic sense, lost to a certain degree. A mashu, but a mashu from Shleimus is totally not Shleimus. It's not mostly. There's no such thing as mostly Shleimus. If it's missing a mashu, it's not Shleimus. Relative flameness, that's man terms. In man terms, you have relative flameness. In Bnei Shalom's terms, you don't have absolute things. Shleimus is absolute completion. 9,999,999.999 is not flameness. Bnei Shalom wins 100%. How does he win? It doesn't appear that way to us. That's a long and lengthy and deep discussion. But the fact remains, each individual person, the Bnei Shalom had a specific job, which only he can do, and if he doesn't do it, it's going to be missing. He needs each one. Every individual has a role to play, has an important role to play. And it is of value because of that role that needs to play. Every person has a topic, every person has a taklis. Every person has a role to play. Everything in the world. What's the reason why you need so many hundreds of thousands of some of them, even with all of the great scientists and the greats of all of Western man, there's still thousands and millions of species they don't even know about and certainly not have studied. We're killing them out far faster than we can recognize what they are or what value they are. What percentage of plants does man know its value? Very, very, very minute section. What do we know all these animals for? If we only have 637 types of monkeys instead of 700 types of monkeys, whatever it is, what would be wrong? Something missing? The fact that we're very, very little creatures and all great wisdom compared to antelopes, right? All of our great wisdom compared to monkeys, but compared to the Bnei Shalom, we're very, very stupid creatures. And the fact that we don't understand the Bnei Shalom's master plan doesn't change the value of the master plan. What's the reason the Bnei Shalom needs billions of Chinese? Couldn't do without them. A couple less Chinese, the world wouldn't go on just counting. He needs all of these Africans. Who needs all these billions? A person doesn't know why the Bnei Shalom needs all Chinese and has a difficulty with that problem will end up not knowing why the Bnei Shalom needs him. Because in the Bnei Shalom's terms, there's no difference between billions of Chinese and me. Alright, you need Klal Yisrael in the world, you need Torah in the world, but from the time of the Ovis to all of the Doros, and even within our generation, the only thing that the Bnei Shalom has coming to him is me. Yeah, I did a long time without that until I came along. It was fine. After I leave Yisrael, he'll find without me right now. If I'm here, I'm here for purpose. This is the Yisaidus Avuna, Yisaidus of everything that we deal with. I've taken this opportunity to express it in a greater length, even though I knew that means I'm not going to get to our Mishnah tonight. But I wanted B'davka to have the perspective separate from the issue. Before we can discuss anything, we have to know that there are two, and it's in deep into us, the normal process of Western mind, Christian idea, is to take any two aspects and make enemies out of them. Pull them apart, separate them, set them on two sides of the fence, and now weigh out their milos and chesonis against each other and see who's going to win. All wars, whether they're done with guns, swords, or newspapers, voting polls, it's all the same, are all based on this type of thing. You pull something apart, take two sides of an issue, you make them separate aspects that one denies the existence or the value of the other. And now it's an argument. I say that you don't exist, you say I don't exist, and we'll have either a nice man's, a gentleman's fight about it, or we'll have a not such pleasant fight about it. This is the Yesod Hara of the book. Anytime you want to speak about anything in Torah, we first have to realize that we're never talking about separate issues. We're talking about the two aspects that we're dealing with in, how do they fit together in a harmonious role in the total picture. And once you understand that we're talking about particular roles in the total picture, then the whole sting and the difficulty of the fact that there's a higher and there's a lower and there's a right and there's a left and there's a front and there's a back and there's a blue and there's a red and there's a green and there's a yellow, there's ups and there's downs, doesn't matter. Because although there are things that are higher and there are things that are lower, there are things that are on the right and things on the left, the basic rule applies to everything. If it is doing what it was created to do, it's good. If it's in its place, whatever it is. I'll give you this will end. I once experienced this in an amazing way. Man, every individual, will come to his absolute sufficient happiness in this world to the degree that he finds his real role. And I once saw this in an amazing, amazing form. I had an opportunity once to work a few weeks in Shlachtos. Let's make a book. That was my opportunity. I was sitting there being the Yitzhak Shamas of the Rabbanim. I'll give it a hatchet. I was doing all the dirty work. Fine. So I saw there one fellow, his name was Job. He's in here, Shartzer. His job was to clean out the kishkis, these animals, and separate the feces, or all that stuff, and the skin of the intestines. This was such a disgusting job, and it was such terrible smells in it, that it was even separated from the rest of the plant. It was in a separate room. It was totally separated from the rest of the plant. And there was another fellow, John, he had the role of taking the things from the regular part into this, and he was in solitary confinement 8 hours a day. Right? Him and the kishkis. Right? I was convinced that this is probably one of the most sorrowful people on the face of the earth. Working this kind of job anywhere on that plant was in any great shakes. The payment was alright, say it. But this job, this has got to be the pits. This has got to be as low as you can go. And he was locked in that room, you couldn't go out. Right, they had the people from the, Secretary of Agriculture would make sure that he was kept separate because he was dealing with things he couldn't cause trouble to damage the meat. And even during the time when they had a break, so he was able to call him and bring him. He was separate from the other workers. 8 hours, so I think this is one of these powerful people that was stuck into this because he wasn't capable of doing anything else and he needed to make some money. I decided to start a conversation with him one day to see what's it like. He said, how are you doing, Joe? It's fine. Ever. How do you like your job? Great job. I said, so happy I got this job now. I had it down 7 years, I've been doing this job. And you know, since I had this job, I'm seeing the focus. And he starts lifting off all of the greatness of his situation. And you shouldn't forget in the middle for a minute that he is the best kishkis cleaner on this side of the city. And the boss knows it. Because he wouldn't pay him if he paid him all those $3.50 an hour. If he wouldn't know that I was the greatest. Ivory has it. He had the amount of things to get unbelievable. That's crazy. He is a kishkis cleaner. And he found his role and he was 100% sufficient. Once read a book, problems with the Western governments, companies, that if you're good at a job, push you up to the pole. Right? You go to death, they push you further. So everybody's pushed to this point of incompetence. Right? So you have a whole total pool of incompetent people doing jobs that they're not fitting for. Because you have to go higher. You got to be higher. Why do you have to be higher for? You have to be what you are. You got to be higher than the incompetent. The incompetent, you're not going to be happy. They're not going to be happy with you, you're not going to be happy with them, you're not happy with the job, job's not happy with you, it's going to be, or it's not going to be done well. No, it's going to be high. There was never, ever, never happened that a stomach wanted to turn into a heart. Never. But a heart is higher than stomach, it is. Right? But no stomach ever wanted to be a heart. Because it's a stomach, and a stomach can do a great job in digesting. Do an awful, lousy job of pumping blood. Terrible job. It's higher. It's a lot higher. It's not the issue. But it's good. It's wonderful. It's great. And it's in total harmony with the heart. As long as it's in its place. It's not kishkis. It's the stomach. It's one step up. It's not a toenail. It's not a brain. It's exactly what it is. It's the stomach. Has a specific role. It does it with its enzymes and its juices and its form and its way, and it does the job marvelously. And it's great, it's wonderful, it's fun, and it's good because it stays in its place. Chas v'sholom, chas v'sholom. If a person has such a sickness, that his kidneys would start pumping blood, and his heart would want to start sending nerve messages around, the problem of a person would last several seconds. To the end, something in the body, the same thing in totality of a community. Any section, any time you have kliyos coming together or people coming together, if each person is doing what he's really cut out to, there's a big gobble. Each person is trying to gobble up the other one, because he sees him as his enemy. This is the golden rule. All places, always, but all things. Either showing harmony, afterwards, or peace. Basic issue that we start all discussions. On this basis, next week in Hashem, we will go and discuss directly the issue of men and women. We have a whole week, the Chaz are over. That although we're going to discuss all of the aspects as much as we can of the discussion of the role of the existence of men and women to the limited knowledge that I have, but we have to be very, very careful. I'll pass it over again and again. What is the perspective and the basis for the discussion? Because only on that basis is there any truth to anything that we're going to say afterwards. If not, everything that we say on all aspects, on all sides of the issue, will by definition be misrepresented, misunderstood. Should help us to understand the other side, and should be. Baruch Hu Elokeinu Shebaranu L'Chvaydai V'Yivdilanu Min HaTayim. Allow us to bring His Kavod, and therefore keep us away from all of the many ways that we want to.